Welcome to Manifest, hosted by international evangelist, teacher, and author Perry Stone. Enjoy unique insight into prophetic and practical truth. It's time to feast on fresh manna, so get ready to be blessed and encouraged. And now, here is your host and teacher, Perry Stone.
We were getting ready to move locations and to do another taping, and we were teaching on a subject called the government's fear of Christianity. And our partners, whom are with me here, in front of the oldest gate of the world, they said to me, in fact, this is the outline, and you don't need to zoom in on this, I'll just hold it up, but this is the outline that I received about 4 o'clock in the morning, and I only got to this part on program one, and this was the remaining part. And they asked me, please preach part two. Now, we seldom do this where we have a part one and part two. So what we're going to do is we're going to continue with this subject and do a part two. But we do want to give a special recognition to individuals who are in this, I started to say in this room. Well, that ain't right. Who are, I started to say in the studio, excuse me. Okay. Who are here at Tell Dan with us, because these are the people that are partner Strike Force members and Monthly Manna, which is our CD club, and they support us monthly. And one of the reasons, now you better listen to this, one of the reasons that I can keep coming to you is because of people like this who yearly keep help us to pay for about almost $7 million worth of airtime a year. So, the partners, this is your 10 seconds of fame. Let's give the Lord a hand. 10 seconds of fame. I'm not going to go back and review last week because you can watch that and see part one. But what we're dealing with is this. Isn't it odd, and I think it is, that of all the religions in the world that throughout history, and let's just not talk about history, because Christianity came into existence at the resurrection of Jesus in 32 or 33 AD. Let's talk about from that moment onward. Have you thought about this? Why is it that you have Judaism, you have Islam, you have Buddhism, you have Hinduism, and you have many world religions? But I want to ask you a question. Why has Christianity been so persecuted? Now think about it for a moment. Sometimes Christianity was persecuted by its own group who were more religious than knowledgeable in the Bible. And we won't go into that. That was during the times of the Inquisitions and things like that. But think about this for just a moment. If you go anywhere in the world, and we're not going to name countries because our program goes in those countries, and I wouldn't want somebody saying, don't air this because he's talking negatively about our country. But there are countries in which they have a huge population, and yet the one group that they consistently persecute are Christians. They lock them up, they arrest them. And I'm going to say this to you, and I want you to hear me before I get into the rest of this message. If you will consider why they are persecuting Christians in, you have many, many nations, you have to ask yourself, why? Why are simple people who are common people, who are working in the fields, who are working in factories, why are they so hated when they're nonviolent, they're not harming anyone, they're not attacking anyone, when the majority of these very simple people preach love, preach that you should care for your brother, preach that you should care for the poor, and yet governments and magistrates and leaders will send troops or send secret police to have these individuals arrested? Now, I want to talk to you for just a moment if you're from a country where there's heavy persecution against Christians, and I want to talk to the leader. Now, I feel the presence of the Lord on me to talk to someone who is in an upper level of a government that knows that your government is non-friendly toward Christians. Now, you better hear what I'm about to tell you. I can take you to the Bible, and I can show you four Herods. All of them were related. They start in Matthew 2. They go later on in the middle of Matthew. They go to Acts chapter 12, and they go toward the end of the book of Acts. Three of the four were heavy persecutors of righteous people. One of them tried to have baby Jesus killed. The other two, one of them beheaded a man named John the Baptist, and another one beheaded a prophet of God who was an apostle by the name of James. Do you want me to tell you what Josephus said happened to those people? One of those men went totally insane. The one that killed the babies of Bethlehem went insane and died in pain in the waters, the hot baths of Jericho. Another one of those Herods also had a terrible, terrible death. The Herod that beheaded James went into a parade wearing a silver garment. Now, this is not in the Bible. This is in the writings of Josephus. And an angel of God was angry with him, and God sent a judgment angel and hit that man in his bowels. And worms broke out in this man's bowels, and in 5 days, he died an absolute horrible, painful death. I can take you to other persecutors of Christianity through history. And I can tell you that when you begin to attack and persecute, and especially if you martyr Christians, then in Revelation 6, when the souls and spirits of these martyrs leave their bodies and they go to the third heaven in paradise, their soul and spirit will cry out to Almighty God in heaven for vengeance against you and your country. Now, you better hear me. I don't know who I'm talking to, but the Holy Spirit wants me to warn you of something. There are some of you that want to make your nation only one religion. And it's because of the background. It's because that's what your people are. But yet you will literally, violently arrest and persecute people who are of the Christian faith. I want to tell you something, sir or ma'am. If you want God to put on His boxing gloves and beat you down to hell, He'll do it. You can't mess with covenant people. Now you hear me. You think you're a leader and you can just do what you want and shed the blood of Christians and their children and get by with it. No, you will not. And if God, you watch what I'm saying. I'm going to predict something. There's going to be leaders, if they keep messing with Christians, that's going to die prematurely, strange deaths. Because God Himself will send an angel of war and He'll say, I've had enough. You are not persecuting my people. Now, someone says, well, persecution is something we're guaranteed. Yes, it is, because there were ungodly people who do not know the covenant that God made with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They do not understand the covenant of the blood covenant of the Lord Jesus Christ. They do not understand that even in Jesus' day, when He warned Jerusalem in Matthew 23, and He said, you have shed the blood of prophets and righteous men, so upon you will come the judgments. Now watch this. They go all the way back to Abel, whom Cain killed, to Zacharias, whom you slew between the porch and the altar. And in one generation, which was about 38 years, the Roman 10th Legion marched into the city of Jerusalem. Now you can read this in Jewish history with the writings of Josephus. Marched into the city of Jerusalem. And they completely beat down the walls of the city. They completely came into the doors. They burnt the temple, and there were literally thousands of bodies. And I'm not trying to be grotesque here, but Josephus will tell you. He was an eyewitness. He wrote about this. He said, you know, the Temple Mount had white, almost like a limestone look, a marble look. That's what it looked, beautiful. And he said there were so many bodies lying there on the mountain that you couldn't even see the white stones. That the blood was running like water. Now that's horrible, but let me tell you what the religious people said, and they knew better. This is my point. When Christ was about to be crucified, Pilate said to them, He's an innocent man. And they screamed out, this is the religious crowd, His blood be upon us and our children. Now what they did at that moment is they broke their own law that God established in Deuteronomy that says if you shed the blood of an innocent man and you don't redeem yourself through the washing of your hands and with a heifer, read it in the book of Deuteronomy, if you don't purify yourself by the sin and say we did not kill this man, we're innocent of shedding innocent blood, he said, then your city will come under a curse. When Pilate stood there that day, the governor, and he said, bring me a bowl. Right. and he started washing his hands. Every Pharisee in the crowd knew exactly what he was doing. He was doing what the law said to do. He didn't have time to go get a cow, a heifer, and cut its head off and take the blood and sprinkle and wash his hands the way the book of Deuteronomy said. It was a ritual. It was a sacrificial ritual. He did not have time to do that. So he washed his hands, and that's when they said, put his blood on us.
Right.
Now, brother, you talk about judgment. Jerusalem was destroyed, the temple was destroyed, and the people were scattered around the world for over little less than 1900 years. So I want to say something to you about governments coming against Christians. We know the Antichrist is coming. He is Antichristos, Antichrist. He will be against the true Christian faith. We know that there are martyrs coming, Revelation 6, and we know that people will be beheaded in the tribulation period, Revelation chapter 20, because they have turned their faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ, and He will not permit that to happen by people who turn. We know that the Bible teaches us that you shall be persecuted for righteousness' sake. Sometimes it's verbal persecution. Sometimes it's people cutting off your job or your work because they don't like you. It's going to happen. But I want to also say to you that God will judge and avenge His elect who cry out to Him day and night, according to Luke's gospel. Somebody praise the Lord right now for that. Now, very quickly, I haven't even got to this message that we talked about, but very quickly, let me share this with you. What happens in governments is they pass laws that they don't realize are impacting not only the beliefs of the covenant that our ancestors have established. For example, in 1963 and 64, they took prayer out of public school. They took Bible reading out of public school. 1973, Roe versus Wade. Then just a few years ago, legalizing same-sex marriage. All these things are impacting in a negative way, the covenant that God established, which is contrary to many of the laws that have been established, even in the United States by our courts. Now, having said that, I want you to listen to me very carefully. In Babylon, if you go to the book of Daniel and you can read this, but in Babylon, the government of Babylon attempted to do something in the time of Daniel. Number one, they wanted to control the food that they ate. And they had meat sacrificed to idols, and Daniel said, I can't eat it, bring me some beans. Number two, and this is important, in Babylon, they attempted to cause the Jews to worship idols, and they were basically saying, all religions are the same. Why can't you just bow? Quit being so controversial. Why are you Christians so controversial? Why do you think Jesus is the only way? I'm going to tell you why I think Jesus is the only way. He's the only one that got up from the grave and come up from the dead with the keys of death and hell. That's why He is who He is. That's why I think He's the Messiah. Nobody else ever did that. But see, they tried to control their worship and tell them, you have to worship our way. You got to do it our way. We're going to control your worship. And the third thing they tried to do, you can read this in Daniel's life. They passed a law and told him, you can't pray. We have a legal law now that established that any God that is prayed to the next 30 days, you will have to be sent to the lion's den. And Daniel said, next morning he got up and said, where's that window? I got to open my window and pray to the city of Jerusalem. Where's that? 12 noon I pray. 3 o'clock in the afternoon I pray. And did Daniel quit praying? No. And I'm going to say this, and it's going to be controversial, but I want you to hear me. When they told the Hebrew boys to eat the meat sacrificed to idols, they said, we're not going to do it because we're different. When they said to them, bow and worship the idol, they said, nope, well, you're going to go in the fiery furnace. They said, well, we might burn, but we're not going to bow. So you just make the decision. When they said to them, quit praying because we passed a law, you can't pray in public. He said, I'm going to pray anyway. I'm going to tell you something, whether you like it or not, whether the left-wing radicals in America like it or not, there's a generation out there that's coming up and they're young people, and you're not going to make them bow to a false God. You're not going to take away their prayer. They're going to carry their Bibles to school whether you like it or not, because we are a nation that was founded by a God, and that God has blessed us, and that God has favored us, and that God has been with us. Why do you think, you listen to me, why do you think everybody in the world wants to come to America? You know I'm telling you the truth. If you opened up the doors to the United States, everybody in India would want to move here. 1.2 billion people. Every Muslim in the Middle East would want to move to the United States. Everybody in Europe would want to move to the United States. And nobody can figure out, why does everybody want to come to America? Well, I want to tell you, the politicians will tell you it's because of democracy and freedom. You know what? There is a truth to that. We give people freedom. We give people the right to start their own businesses. We give people the right, basically, with that, we do have taxes, but to keep your own money. It's called the American dream. But I'm going to tell you, it is not democracy that made America great. I'm going to tell you why we have been great. We have been great because we had 52 people or 54 that signed a Declaration of Independence. We had men that worked on a Constitution. We had men that worked on a Bill of Rights who had one book that they followed, and that book was called the Bible. And they understood that if you will follow the laws that God has established in this book, which is called the Bible, He said, God said, I'll bless you coming in, I'll bless you going out, I'll make you the head and not the tail. You shall lend and not borrow. I'll bless the fruit of your womb. I'll bless your children. I'll bless your fields. I'll bless your fruit. And America is blessed not because of Democrats and not because of Republicans. And I'm going to say something else, not even because of who the president is or will be. America is blessed because of people who call themselves believers, who are Christians, who are followers of the true God. And those, whether they be devout Jews or whether they be people who are Christians or whether they be people who understand that the Bible, that's all of the Bible, 66 books of the Bible, is not just a religious book, it's the inspired word of God. And if you will follow that book called the Bible and do what is right, God has promised to put a covenant blessing on you. And we've been living. My God, have mercy. I feel something right now. We have been living. We have been living and we have been blessed. I'm telling you, study our history. We have been blessed by the covenant book. And if you want to know what got ancient Israel in trouble, go read it. God said to them in the Torah, you have made a controversy with my covenant. He said, you have made a, this is the wording, the covenant of the ancestors. The covenant of our ancestors goes back to George Washington and John Adams and all these founders who understood that if this is a republic, one nation under God, and we should have the pursuit of life and liberty. And I hear this all, I hear it. And they think it's in the Constitution. It's not. It's a letter that Thomas Jefferson answered to a Baptist church. Separation of church and state. And let me tell you, go back and read it. I know you left-wing liberals, only part of your brain works. In fact, some of you are so open-minded, your brain fell out a long time ago. No, seriously. Seriously. I mean, you can't even sit down and talk to you at a table and even reason with you. But people say, you know, we've got to have separation of church and state. We've got to have No, listen to me. The founders said this. They knew that the Church of England was controlling people. And when they came over here not to form a democracy. You go back and read your history, because some of you, they don't teach it anymore in public school. They came for religious freedom. Let me tell you what. Let me tell you how much freedom they wanted. Do you know what Bible they brought over with them? They did not bring the King James translation. They did not like King James. Ooh, that's a surprise. I have one. A partner gave me an original Geneva Bible from the 1600s. It's that thick. And they brought the Geneva Bible because they did not want a Bible that had been translated by the King of England. Now, I'm not against King James. I quote King James. My commentary is in King James. I'm making a point that it was religious freedom that they came over here for. Now, we don't hear that in history. Nobody wants to talk about that anymore. And here's the thing I want to tell you. When they signed our documents, and those documents are now in that beautiful building in Washington, D.C., here's what they were saying. The government shall not establish a government religion. Nor will they hinder the free expression thereof.
Amen. That's right.
And when you tell believers that we cannot pray to the Lord Jesus Christ anywhere in public, when you tell believers we can't carry our Bibles in public places, then you're breaking what the founders said. Amen. I just wanted to correct that. So here's the point I want to make. In Babylon and in Persia, they wanted to control the food. They wanted to control the worship. They wanted to control the prayer. And here's what they're basically trying to do in Babylon. Silence the Jews. Don't let them pray. Don't let them get in public. Don't let them do that. And folks, can I tell you what's happening? there's a whole group in America being raised up, and they have the ear of the media. The media is with them and for them because the media heads came out of liberal universities that don't even believe in God, believe in Christ, or believe in the Bible. They're the people running the thing. So that's why you need to understand that they're not, they have no concept of true faith or true Christianity. I'm going to say this, the majority don't. There are some that do, but the majority don't. But what they're trying to do is intimidate Christians like the king did in Babylon to shut you up.
That's right.
So here's what Esther, here's what Mordecai said to Esther. And by the way, get the parallel here. There was a man by the name of Haman in Persia who built 10 gallows to hang Mordecai on. But instead of Mordecai being hung and removed from power, Haman himself hung himself on his own gallows. He ended up getting hung. I don't want to get to the parallel of that. But watch this. Esther, Mordecai came to Esther and said this, "Who knows if you've come to the kingdom for such a time as this?" She was afraid to approach the king because there was a certain protocol. And he said, "You better not be," he said, "Don't you be silent."
Yes. Yes.
They want us to shut up.
Yeah.
Guess what? We're not going to.
No.
We're going to keep teaching, keep preaching, keep obeying God,
right,
because that's the only way that a generation's heart can be changed.
Yeah.
To love God, love people. Christian, the true Christian faith causes you to love people that you normally would not love.
Amen.
And we love, the only person we hate is the devil.
Amen.
And his bunch.
Amen.
But we love people. I want you to know that. All right, now, I still didn't get I'm waxing anointed right here in Israel. So stay tuned because we'll have a special offer that we want to make available to those of you who love the telecast and you love our teaching. And then we will be telling you where we'll be coming to. We got places. We're coming to Connecticut. We're coming to all kinds of places that we haven't been to in years. So hang in there. God bless you.
Now available, an exciting new resource from Perry Stone, Prophetic Summit 2020. Prophetic Summit 2020 was taped live at the Voice of Evangelism Studios and features 8 timely prophetic messages from teachers Perry Stone and Bill Cloud. Available in an 8 DVD video album or an 8 CD audio album, this collection is sure to address many of the issues important to you and your family at this incredible time in world history. Here's some of what you'll receive when you order Prophetic Summit 2020. What are the events surrounding the resurrection of the dead at the time of the end? Perry Stone examines this phenomenon in Unlocking the Maranatha Code. How will the power of the kingdom of darkness be overcome and the kingdom of God be set free to reign on the earth? Bill Cloud addresses this question in The Mystery of the Breaker, Kingdom of Heaven and Kingdom of Darkness. Does the Bible describe advanced technologies of war that some nations may already possess? Find out in Perry Stone's Future EMP Attacks and Apocalyptic Prophecies. Have Christians lost touch with an important spiritual heritage demonstrated in the lives of the biblical patriarchs? Bill Cloud urges a return to this deep historical connection in The Joseph Factor. In The Coming War of Gog and Magog and the Ezekiel File, Perry Stone explores in what ways the symbolic descriptions of war in the book of Ezekiel could come to pass in the last days. Bill Cloud examines a battle often overlooked by prophecy teachers between Israel and the descendants of another ancient people in The War in Edom. Uncovering parallels between the story of Enoch and descriptions of the second coming of Jesus, Perry Stone presents The Enoch Cipher, Future Cosmic Signs of Christ's Return. Finally, in The Mystery of the Final Birth Pangs, Perry Stone decodes some of the prophetic signs concerning Israel, nature, the cosmos, the church, and the Gentile nations. Thousands of viewers joined Perry Stone and Bill Cloud for this timely live stream event, and now you can experience Prophetic Summit 2020 as well. Order this dynamic, timely collection of prophetic teachings. Visit perrystone.org or call 1-888-21-BREAD. That's 1-888-212-7323. You may also write to us at Perry Stone, P.O. Box 3595, Cleveland, Tennessee, 37320. Ask for offer 20PS1-CD for a gift of $60 or more, or 20PS1-DVD for a gift of $80 or more. Your support of Perry Stone Ministries makes teaching events like Prophetic Summit 2020 possible and helps us with the mission of presenting the Word of God to people all over the world. Thank you. We look forward to hearing from you.
I trust you enjoyed the teaching from Israel, and please get the conference. It will teach you a lot of things. It's a Now Word without a doubt. You know, speaking of Israel, the programs from there, we take a team every year in November, and of course people go with us, and we tape on location. And you know, you may have not been keeping up with the news. From this positive side, there are amazing discoveries being made every single month that is proving the existence of the Bible. Towns where Jesus ministered, places where the disciples preached. You know, sometimes you'll find an antiquity, a piece of pottery, or what they call a seal that has the name of a biblical king on it. And it is exciting to be living today. I know that we can look at the news and we can get so negative and so overwhelmed by the bad news that is out there. And we see what appears to be the world becoming crazy. But this is why, in my opinion, it's very important that you learn the biblical prophecy. Let me tell you something. Not all prophecy is, as some suggest, negative and pessimistic and doom and gloom. Prophecy is very exciting because, to me, it proves God's word is true. John said in Revelation that the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. This is how we know the Bible is accurate, because it predicts things that would happen, and those predictions were made thousands of years ago. And you know, in the very near future, we're going to be presenting to you on Manifest my brand new prophetic book late fall. We have some material that we're working on very, very intently, an entire teaching, the most lengthy teaching on the Antichrist that we've ever done. It will probably be about 8 hours, maybe longer when it's all done. It could be up to 10 hours of teaching just on that one subject. I want to inform the body of Christ, the people who are saved and unsaved, what the Bible has to say about the future. And it's a call that I have from God. I did not call myself to this aspect of ministry. I'm actually an evangelist, and I've traveled most of my life, although I am slowing down my schedule in my latter years, but I'm still fired up about the Word. I'm still studying every day and still believing God to give me revelation and insight that will be a help and a blessing to you. Most of all, this is what we want. We want your loved ones saved. We want your kids and your family members to come to Jesus. So, ISO.org, every Thursday night, East Coast time, get a hold of our World Prayer Center. Send in your requests. We have people that pray every Thursday night, beginning at 6 o'clock, right there at the Prayer Center, the Global Prayer Center. And you can watch it online from anywhere in the entire world. And don't forget to subscribe to Perry Stone YouTube channel and get all these crazy updates that we're going to be presenting to you. And of course, our Perry Stone Ministries Facebook page. And remember, there's only one that has the blue check mark, which is ours. That's the real one. So thank you for your time. Thank you for your prayers. I do want to thank you in my sabbatical for so many of you who have written me and prayed for me. I need you to continue to pray for my health. I do have some struggles in the area of health, and we're trying to correct it. And I really need that prayer as much as possible. And we know that the Lord has been with us for 45 years, and He's going to continue to do so. God bless you. On behalf of Pam and myself and our staff at VOE, we do love you. Thank you.
Perry Stone invites you to join him for his 2020 Israel tour. The dates are November 23rd through December 2nd with an optional visit to Petra in the country of Jordan. Call 1-888-321-3629 or visit perrystone.org for more information and how to register. Seating is limited, so call today.
Expand your understanding of Scripture. Advance your effectiveness in ministry. Earn certification for your knowledge of the Bible. International School of the Word. Developed by Perry Stone and Dr. Brian Cutshall, ISO.org is the premier online Bible school with dozens of courses, hundreds of lessons, and thousands of students all over the world. Sign up for one of our exciting, affordable Bible courses and begin your journey at ISO.org today.